which is right next to Area 51. It has to be. How else can we monitor the UFOs any other place other than Area 52? We've got to keep our eye on those things. They are everywhere. Speaking of which, one of our astute watchers sent me this email today. Yeah, yesterday. And I'm not going to share their name. And I asked them, he had told me after, what day is today? Tuesday. After Thursday's broadcast about UFOs and chariots and all that stuff. And he said, my wife and I saw one. And he sent me his little testimony, and he said it was posted on MUFON. If you don't know what that is, the Mutual UFO Network. I met a guy who was, I met him in Birmingham, Alabama. I was doing a Club O' Prophecy meeting down there. And I met all kinds of people at the Prophecy Club meetings, I can tell you that. But he came up to me and shook my hand. We talked a little bit, and he started bragging about how he was the head chief of the Alabama Mutual UFO Network. He was the guy. Okay. Then he started talking about them being from other planets, and he knew what planet they were from. And I said, you don't believe the Bible. And, which we're going to get into. We're going to cover this thing again today. And I've got something to share with you. I'm going to start out with it, and then we're going to kind of ease back into what we were talking about Thursday. But I got something to share with you. God just kind of laid on me late last night. Had it on my mind all morning, and I'm going to show you a little bit of it today. But anyway, their testimony, they weren't going to say anything about it, but they saw that other people saw the same event. Let me read to you what they wrote. They said this big bright light appeared in the distance. They were out having a bonfire somewhere. This light or ships was one ship, and then it made formations very quickly in the blink of an eye. I want you to think about that. The ability that this is what's being reported by people, the ability that these things have to go from one location to another location in just a moment of time, similar to the devil showing Jesus all the kingdoms of the earth in a moment of time. The Bible says that they were on an exceeding high mountain. That means the mountain exceeded high. That's what it means. And I believe that outside of our plane of existence, this three-dimensional universe that we live in, that there is a fourth spatial dimension. And anytime you start talking, I'm already in it. You start talking about aliens and UFOs and fourth dimension, and people are just going, okay, you're oh, my goodness. Okay? That's what they start thinking. They just turn you off right then and there. And, I mean, I just don't like being out there unless the Bible says, come out here. This is what's real. This is what's true. So anyway, they said, then it made formations very quickly in the blink of an eye. It split into four lights very quickly. These descriptions below describe exactly what we saw. It formed a pyramid-type object to an arrow, straight line, and various others back to one light in seconds. Hard to believe, but these people saw the exact same thing that we witnessed that night. And he gives the date. And the date is actually logged. There looks like a log here of UFO sightings and reports at the Mutual UFO Network. This one was October the 14th, 2013. 9:15 p.m., and this is what's been reported at the Mutual UFO Network. Large white light split into four, hovering in different formations, lights on and off, Lebanon, Ohio, in that area. 9:45, another report, single light orb splits into four, Springboro, Ohio. 9:15 p.m., No date, single light, split into four lights, Miamisburg, Ohio, United States. Not everybody is seeing swamp gas. Not everybody is seeing a weather balloon. There are happenings and events. I have never seen one, but there are happenings and events that there is no logical earthly explanation for. And instead of just believing all the websites and UFO theory, and I've got a ton of UFO books, things that I've collected, PDFs and so on, and I don't believe a lot of that stuff. I believe what's in my Bible. And the Bible tells me that God created a peculiar group of heavenly beings. We call them angels. I want you to remember that word. Let's do this. Let's stick with the King James. Let's stick with language that the Bible uses rather than going off, well, you believe the Nephilim? What is that? That's Genesis 6, the giants. I believe in giants. And if you'll take that and look at the NIV, Genesis 6 verse 4, you'll find that the NIV took the word, the translation, giants, out. They took it out and replaced it with the transliteration of Nephilim. And I think that's designed to get people to stop believing in giants. And here we go. The true born-again Bible-believing Christians believe in giants, dragons, unicorns, and flying chariots going through the sky. It's what we believe in. And aliens. And that's Bible language, by the way. I'll get into that in a minute. But I appreciate them sending this here. You can, if you can look up that date, 10-14-2013, in Ohio Mutual UFO Network, I'm sure you'll find that and other sightings. If one person sends it in and they talk about how the ship landed and the aliens came out and the guy offered him a Snickers and a cigarette and a bottle of whiskey and then they flew off, then you're going, okay, I just don't know if I believe that one or not. But when you've got 20-some-odd people or more calling in a similar report on the same night, at the same time, in the same location, you've got something. There was a famous case in the St. Louis area several years ago, and it was seen by numerous people, St. Louis area, then over into Illinois. It was actually reported by law enforcement officials. They were talking about it over their radios. And these people were interviewed. And the local Fox affiliate in St. Louis did a lengthy story about it. And to this day, it is an unexplained, silent, triangle-shaped craft that moved about slowly at times and then poof. Gone. And these are reasonable people that see these things. So what are they? Is there an explanation for this? Does this have any relevance to my life, to the salvation of the lost? Hang on. And Bible prophecy. Does this have any relevance to people being saved? Now you just hang on a minute, because I'm going to get there. And people can call me quack, goof. They can call me Mike Hoggard if they want to. But I believe what this book says. Let me read a couple of, I'm not going to read any news items. I have a ton of news items waiting for you at facebook.com/PastorMikeOnline. There's some things that people sent me, some things that I saw on Drudge Report today. Very, very interesting things, DNA related, strange sounds in, Oregon. Weird, weird stuff going on, and you can check those out, as you wish. The Fargo, Moorhead, Minnesota, Red River Bible Prophecy Conference coming up March, what is that, March 18th through the 20th, I believe. Yes, 18th, 19th, and 20th. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. They've got me scheduled to speak four times. Chris Pinto is going to be there. I'm looking forward to seeing him again. I like Chris. If you've not seen his video, A Lamp in the Dark, is it A Lamp in the Dark, Lamp in the Darkness, something like that. But it's about the Catholic Church's hatred of the King James Bible and how they tried to destroy it. They're still trying to destroy it. But you can't. You cannot destroy the Word of God. It's incorruptible. So anyway, March 18th through 20th, Titus 2:13, hope.com is the website. Go there and you can find the schedule. And I had a guy call yesterday and we talked a little bit. I think he's going to be there and some others. We would love to meet you. Love to see you again. Those of you that have been there in the past, I'm looking forward to. I'm going to talk about the body and the blood and everything. It's cool. Then Harrison, Arkansas, March 31st through April 2nd, Oak Lane, Free Will Baptist Church. Pastor Lonnie has a camp meeting there every year. It's been going on since 2000. I've been there just about every year and preach there. And Saturday morning, 9 o'clock, Pastor Charlie Jameson's going to preach. Right after that, myself. And what a wonderful church, wonderful people down there, and some good guys that believe the Bible. They love the Lord, and they are in it, man. They are in it. So anyway, keep those dates on your calendar. They will be streamed either by us or the guys at the Fargo Conference do their own streaming. I think it'll probably be on Ustream, so be looking for that. We'll probably provide a link when we get down there and figure out where it is. But if you can make it to either one of those conferences, I would love for you to be there. I want you to take your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 1. I got an email just a couple of minutes ago from someone saying that, you know, hey, Pastor, I've been going to a King James Bible only independent fundamental church, and I'm hearing about dispensationalism, and some of the pastors call themselves dispensationalists, some of them don't. And he said, what is that? Well, that kind of fits into Galatians chapter 1, so I'm going to throw that into the pile here a little bit. And I've talked about this before, not going to spend a lot of time, but there is the idea amongst those who refer to themselves as dispensationalists that says that God has different, they call dispensations. Now, the Bible does not, it uses the word dispensation of the fullness of times, but the Bible does not refer to, I'm probably going to trip over my own words here in a little bit. Let me just say this. They say that there are different times where God operated in a different fashion to different people at different eras of times, and the dispensationalists are kind of split. Some believe that God has a different alternative gospel at those different times to those special people. They say in the Old Testament, the Israelites were saved by keeping the law. Who kept it? Show me who kept it. Who kept the law? They declared in Acts chapter 15 that the Jews declared. The Jewish believers declared in Acts chapter 15, they said, we never kept it. Why should we make the Gentiles do it? They were not saved by works of the law. They were saved by grace through faith. But anyway, then you have the dispensationalists who say that the different dispensations were how God administered grace to people at different times. Now, I can hang on that one. Okay? That one's not too bad. I just don't like the titles. Oh, he's pre-trib, he's mid-trib, he's post-trib, he is a hyper-dispensationalist, he is a dispensationalist, he is a preterist, he is this, I just don't care for, you want to call me something, call me a Bible believer. That's what I am. But some of these people, some of these dispensationalists believe that God had different alternative, contradictory gospels at different times to different people. And if you don't agree with them, you're going to hell. In their eyes, you are so far, you're so stupid, You can't read the Bible and clearly see that in there. And I'm just going, that's because it's not. But that's what they say. And if you don't, and with these guys, if you don't believe to the letter what they believe, you are reprobate and you are going to hell. Of course, there's all these different gospels all over the place. My goodness, anybody can see that. And they say the four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, that has nothing to do with us and our salvation. I'm just going, what is wrong with you people? So I don't like the title. I don't like any, because it's just like there's different breeds of eternal security. Hugger, do you believe in eternal security? I'm not even gonna say. Well, I don't. You ask me something in the Bible, I'll tell you if I believe it or not. But there's different strains and different breeds of eternal security, and some people say that it's like Steven Anderson. You pray the prayer, you're going to heaven. Go out and smoke some marijuana and have some gay sex with somebody. It's okay. You're still saved. That is not what the Bible says. So anyway, I just don't like the titles, and you don't have to have them. Okay? You just don't have to have them. People say, well, I need to know where you fit in. Well, right here. Okay? I fit right here between these pages. Galatians chapter 1. Something occurred to me last night. And I would not even presume to think that it is my own intelligence, it is my own skills. It's not. It's the Holy Ghost of God. God gives you light, God gives you illumination, and He does it through the Scriptures. And my experience is the Holy Ghost, when He speaks, He loves to quote Scriptures. And a lot of times He'll do that, and then He'll turn a light on, and you'll see it, you'll get it. And I've read these verses I don't know how many times, especially dealing with dispensationalists who believe there's two gospels, three gospels, four gospels, some even say seven of them. And Paul deals with that, and I just cannot get past Galatians 1. I can't step outside of the boundaries of what the Bible says. I can't, you say, of course there's two gospels. Mike, what is wrong with you? What's wrong with me is Paul. Paul's wrong with me. He said there's not another gospel. You say there is. I can't believe. And especially when you say, of course there's more than one gospel, and then you don't quote me verses that says there's more than one gospel. You find verses where the word gospel's in it. Duh! But you don't give me places where it says, now the gospel to Israel is this, and the gospel to the Gentiles is this, and these two are not the same. There is no place in the Bible that says that. And yet here's Paul, using plainness of speech. That's what he said. We use plainness of speech. And he says in Galatians chapter 1, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil world. Somebody say amen to that. According to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel, this is verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Now, right there, Paul is telling you that here's a group of people who at one time believed the gospel. And the gospel is the grace of God through faith. Ephesians tells us that. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And so he identifies the gospel as God's grace, which is unmerited favor. And some of these guys will say, well, it's grace plus works. I'm going to hit this button a lot today. Paul said, if it's works, then it's not grace. And if it's grace, then it's not works. Those two are you just said two contradictory terms. It's like saying, I'm a smart idiot. It doesn't work. All right? I'm a very knowledgeable, ignorant person. Or, I'm a person who is very knowledgeable of God, though I'm an agnostic. And the word agnostic means I don't know. I'm ignorant of God. And when you say it's grace plus works, those are at enmity with one another. They don't work together. And so that's how he defined it. And this group of people had been removed from the grace of God to another gospel, a different one. And he said, verse 7, which is not another. So if it's the gospel, it is by definition the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ and his word. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's the word of the gospel, the scriptures. You believe the Bible. And he said, it's not another gospel. It's not, the word gospel is good tidings. Behold, I shall bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. All people. Good tidings. And if it's not, if it's a gospel of works or something else that brings that gospel other than the word of God, then it's not good tidings. This is bad news for you. You're going to go to hell for believing this and being a part of it. And I'm going to show you something in a minute. He said, which is not another, but there would be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. It's being perverted right now. It's being perverted in churches. It's being perverted all over the world. It's being, listen to me now, it's being perverted in laboratories. It is being perverted in laboratories. Please hang on. But though we, or what? An angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now, Joe Smith, I don't think that was his real name. I think he made that up. What's your name, sir? Joe Smith. Joe Smith said an angel from heaven showed him where the golden plates were buried beneath this hillside in upstate New York, Palmyra, somewhere around in there. And I'm going to give you these special glasses, these seer stones. And when you put them on, see, on those golden plates, watch this now, was a language that he understood not. Do you get that? You know where that's from. God told Israel in Deuteronomy 28 that if they wouldn't keep his laws and statutes and judgments, all of them, that he would send a nation to them from afar, a nation of fierce countenance, whose tongue thou would not understand. Here in the book of Daniel, he talks about a king of fierce countenance who has understanding in dark sentences. So here is Joe Smith being directed toward a book of golden plates written in characters and a language that he does not understand, that nobody understands. No one's ever seen it. And he gives him these two rocks called seer stones, and he puts them on, and he starts dictating to somebody what he says is on these plates. He was the recipient of another testament of Jesus Christ, another gospel, from an angel from heaven. It fits. So was Ellen White, the foundress, the mistress of the Seventh-day Adventist cult, because she didn't get her doctrine and her understandings about the fourth commandment from the Bible. She did not get it from the Bible. She did not read anywhere in the Bible that Sabbath keeping or violation of Sabbath keeping was the mark of the beast. That's nowhere to be found. She also did not read in the Bible anywhere that God's people must go to church only on the Sabbath day and cannot go to church on the first day of the week, third day of the week, fourth day of the week, fifth day of the week. They must do it on Saturday. And if they're not doing it on Saturday, they are reprobate. They have the mark of the beast and they're doomed for hell. And she said she had angel visitations. accompanying angels, she called it. That's a familiar spirit. I'm going to talk about that this Sunday. The Watchman broadcast. She had visitations by a familiar spirit, an angel from heaven, who took her to heaven. She gets to see, she gets to go into the most holy place. And she sees, she opens up the ark, or it's opened up to her, the Ark of the Covenant, and there's the Ten Commandments, and they're all shining bright and brilliant with brilliant light, and just beams of light coming out of the commandments. But the fourth commandment shines brighter than all of the other nine commandments. She didn't get that in the Bible. That's not written in the Bible. That's not scriptural. And then she says, the fourth commandment is the only one that Christ did not nail to the cross. The other ones, yes, but not the fourth commandment. An angel from heaven came down and gave her another gospel. It's the gospel of law keeping, which is exactly what Paul was dealing with in Galatians. The whole book of Galatians was all about the Jews snuck into those churches, infiltrated them, telling them, you need to go back to your Hebrew roots. You need to get into the Yahwehs and the Yahuwahs and the Yahushuas, and you need to speak in the Hebrew, and that'll please God. Be circumcised and go to church on this Saturday. That's what you need to do. Oy vey. And people were falling for it, and Paul was angry. He was ticked, and he said, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to say it twice. Though we or an angel from heaven bring you any other gospel, let him be accursed. That's Paul cursing someone out. And then he says in chapter 3, who bewitched you? Who came in and cast a witch's spell over you to teach you to follow the elements, earth, air, fire, and water? These things that you keep, you observe times and years and months and things like that. And he said, God came to save you from that stuff, not put you back in it. And the whole of the Hebrew Roots movement says Christ came so that he could take us back to keep the Torah, they say. Now, we have two examples. We have Ellen White, an angel bringing her another gospel. That's accursed. And anybody, listen, if you don't like what I just said, I dare you to read your Bible. I dare you to get a King James Bible and read from it. That's all I'm going to dare you to do. But that religion and that doctrine is cursed. And so is Ellen. So is Joe. So is William Miller. So is Charles Taze Russell. These guys had familiar spirits giving them these new revelations, these angels telling them different gospels and so on. And I would even say Darby. Something corrupted that man's mind into believing that there were different contradictory gospels at different eras. Now, where am I going? What does this have to do with UFOs and all this stuff? We covered this on Thursday. I'm going to kind of cover my tracks a little bit or go back over them just to kind of get us the idea that God did, and we saw it in Ezekiel, we saw it in the Psalms, we saw it in Zechariah. We see it in 2 Kings chapter 2 when Elijah went up by heaven. There was a horse, or there was a chariot and horses, and they were not made by Ford. Okay, Daimler Chrysler, they did not come from there. They were crafted by God. The chariots of God are 10,000 even, or 20,000, even thousands of angels. And the angels there that Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel chapter 1, they had wheels. They had wheels within wheels. And those wheels had to do with their motion and how they moved. Now here's what I want you to consider. This word angel in the Bible, it applies to both good and bad. It applies, there's good angels. The Bible says there are evil angels. devils, gods. Paul said that the thorn in his flesh was what? A messenger of Satan. What is a messenger? It's an angel. That's what the word angelos means, a messenger. Hermes Trismegistus, or Mercury, was the messenger god. Paul had an angel of Satan buffeting him. There is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is Abaddon and Apollyon. In India, he's called Shiva, the destroyer. It's also, the destroyer is one of the 99 names of God, or of Allah in Islam. So I want you to consider this now, that these chariots, these unidentified flying chariots, that these are the gods. They are evil angels, the ones that are deceiving people. They are, they and those that accompany them. In biblical technical terms, we could use the word alien and it would apply. Because they are not citizens with us. They are not of this world. And that's how we've applied the word alien, both in political issues. If someone crosses the border and comes to this nation, then they are an illegal alien. They are foreign to the United States, and they've crossed illegally, and they should be sent back. That's what the law says. That's not mean, that's the law. Likewise, any evil angel, any devil, any little god god that works in this world is an alien to this world. They are foreign to this world. They did not come from here. They don't belong here. So you see how I'm using the language here. It matches what's in the Bible. Now here's what I want you to consider. An angel, an evil angel, an alien, devil, evil angel, entity, coming down from heaven with something to be added to the four Gospels. Wait till you see what I found on Sid Roth, It's Supernatural, yesterday. I'm going to show it to you Sunday and Watchmen comes out. Wait till you see it. Sid Roth and all of those people on his show, they are all about promoting another gospel. And there was a man, I don't want to get into it, there was a man who was talking to another Jesus. That's a familiar spirit. That's an alien. It's a deception is what it is. And I want you to think of the idea that the aliens are going to come, and I'm using that in biblical terms. The aliens, the evil angels, are going to come, and they're going to promote something or bring something that adds to, watch this now, if Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So if you add the Book of Mormon, which came from an angel, if you add the Book of Mormon to that, you've corrupted the gospel. You've added something to the gospel, and that's what Joe Smith did. Now look at it this way. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Adenine, guanine, cytosine, thymine. The four nucleotides. The four bases that connect to one another, that connect one strand to the other strand of DNA. It's like the Old New Testament, the four Gospels joining them together, right? Isn't that how it is? So an angel from heaven comes down and he says, I've got something else that's going to make you gods. It's going to make you immortal. It's going to cure all your diseases. Is that biblical? Now, I wasn't going to do this last night. I was tired. I was going to go to bed. The final episode of The X-Files, it's only a six-part thing, and part six was on last night. I had it recorded on the DVR, and I thought, I'm going to go to bed. I'm going to go to sleep. Sweetie Pie's asleep. I'm going to go to sleep. And it's like, nudge, 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 Mike, watch it. So I watched it. And I went, let me show you. If you don't know The X-Files, okay, I watched every episode of The X-Files several years ago. And it was all about Fox Mulder, Dana Scully, two FBI investigators, and they are uncovering an alien plot to take over the Earth. The agent provocateur for the aliens on Earth is who they call the cigarette smoking man. He appears. He's this clandestine figure in the background. He rules the show and everything like that. The show ended with the cigarette smoking man saying that the alien invasion was going to occur December 21st, 2012. The main calendar ending. And then the show ended. Until this year. So they brought it back out of the closet, dusted it off, and then started adding some things to it. And what you find out is that the cigarette-smoking man was part of a earthly cabal that infected everybody on the Earth from the 1950s on with their vaccinations, infected everybody on the Earth with this thing that at a certain point in history, it was going to disable the immune system of everybody on the Earth simultaneously, just about. So now, in the sixth episode, all of a sudden, everybody around the world is getting sick from the cold, bubonic plague, measles, mumps, rubella, all the things that we've been vaccinated against. That's what they say was there was something put in it from the beginning. And it crippled, on a certain day, crippled everybody's immune system, and now everybody's dying. Except a select few. Dana Scully is one of the few that is the exception. And there's something different with her DNA. If you watch the show, you know what it is. So in episode 5 of this season, she does a DNA analysis of her own DNA to find it. And she finds what it is. And so here is the scene from last night's episode. I transcribed a portion of it for you. This other redheaded FBI agent is named Einstein. And Einstein and Scully, she's taking a blood sample. She's going to do a DNA test of Scully. Scully said, without alien DNA, you don't stand a chance against the Spartan virus, which is what they call it. Scully says, you've got to have the alien DNA in you or you won't stand a chance. Einstein says, how does it work? How does the virus remove the ADA gene? The ADA gene is what keeps your immune system going. The virus was programmed to trigger on a certain day and remove everybody's ability to fight off diseases. Remove, watch this now, the white blood cells. What are the white blood cells? They're a picture of Christ and how he removes our sin, our uncleanness. And so Scully says it's a process called CRISPR. How many times have we talked about, and I'm sure that Chris Carter, and I noticed on the credits that Chris Carter, who was the author or the creator of the X-Files, along with two, it said doctor this and doctor that. I don't know if they were medical doctors. I don't know if they were biologists or whatever. But he wrote the script along with these two doctors, I guess, to get the science right. But here's Scully saying that the Spartan virus uses the CRISPR method. And the CRISPR method is, it's a protein that goes in and it scans for a certain gene in your genome. Once it finds it, it cuts it out and throws it away so that you don't have that gene anymore. The gene that makes your immune system work on all these people was CRISPRed out. It was edited. And the only people who are immune to that are the people with the alien DNA in them. And she has the alien DNA. There's the scene where she's pointing to it. She says, there it is, right there. So then by the end, and for those of you who don't know, Scully and Mulder had a baby back in the old X-Files named William. William's blood had the cure for this alien virus that's going to kill everybody. Nobody's seen William. The end of episode 6, last night's final episode. I mean, did they ever leave that wide open for the next set? Because they're looking for William, whose blood, whose DNA is going to be the savior of all the people of the earth. It's going to save their life. Now, Scully says that the alien DNA that she has in her blood is near the centromere, the 17th chromosome. And I'm just going, I know what that is. I know what that is. The centromere on the X chromosome is where the chromatids, these little parts here, are joined together. It's the center point. It is, here's a picture of the Catholic Church. All Catholic churches look like this. They have the altar back here. This is where you walk in the door. And you have this part here called the transept. It is the center point where this combines with this and this combines with this. Are you catching this? This is like fire and water, earth and air, and they all connect right here at the centromere, the transept. When you go to a Catholic funeral, they lay the corpse right here at the centromere, at the transept. When you're married in the Catholic Church, this is where you're married. When you receive communion and eat the God, this is where you're eating the alien God. Because it's not Jesus. I'm telling you, it is not Jesus. This is where it's happening. And I'm looking at that and I'm going, okay, I get that. I know what that is. But the bottom line is that the message from that was, if you don't have the alien DNA mingled with your DNA, you will perish. That, my friends, remember, four base pairs, adenine, guanine, cytosine, thiamine, four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Paul said, if an angel brings another gospel, if he brings another base pair, if he brings something else and adds it to the DNA, that's accursed. I think that's what's going to happen. How do I know that? Daniel 2, verse 42, and as the toes of the feet were part of iron and part of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. That's what Dana Scully had in her blood that saved her from dying like everybody else was dying. Without alien DNA, you don't stand a chance. People, this is getting real. And this Bible, without this Bible, I say all this stuff and people go, oh my goodness. Some of these alien wackos talking about alien experiments on DNA and hybrid babies. And without the Bible, we're all nuts. We're all crazy. And this is all just science fiction and fantasy. With the Bible, saying what it says exactly the way it says it. Now we're not the ones that's nuts anymore. We're not the ones that are crazy. We're not the ones living in a fantasy world of make-believe. It's the people who deny the Bible. They're the ones living in the fantasy world. People are, and I hear from people all the time, that, you know, because I mentioned vaccinations a while ago, and some people don't like vaccinations. I get that. I know people who have had babies, and those babies were normal and healthy until a vaccination, and now there's one family that he has, what is it? Can't remember. Autism. and some parents don't want to do it. I get it. But I can tell you I've received more vaccinations than probably most people. There's a whole list of things you've got to have before you go preach in Kenya, and I got every one of them, and not a one has affected me. And there's some people who warn others about, oh, you don't eat this. This is poison. This is poisoning our bodies, and it's the government's way of getting rid of us all, and this and that and the other. And okay, maybe that's bad. I've been eating artificial sweeteners for the last 20 years. I won't say that I'm normal, but I can tell you I am healthier now than I have been in a long time. It has not had any adverse effect on me. Some people, maybe it does. I get that. But what I'm saying is I am not near as worried about what they might put into me as I am worried about what's already in me. You know what I'm saying? Paul said it in Romans 7, sin dwelleth within me. No, in me dwelleth no good thing. That's what's in me. Jesus gave a list of things that can proceed out of the heart of man. Fornications, murders, adulteries, lust, evil speaking. 13 things there that Jesus said, that's what, if that comes out of you, that's what defiles a man. And I'm going, I've got every one of those in me, and I know it. Now, let me say this to those worried about things you eat and genetic modification of food going to give us all the mark of the beast. Let me just say this. Jesus told his disciples, and this is King James Bible here, because in the NIV and the other stuff, they removed most of these verses out of the book of Mark. But in the book of Mark, chapter 16, I think it is, Jesus told us, ye shall tread upon scorpions and serpents. I give you power over all the power of the enemy. You shall take up serpents. Drink things, and I'm just kind of paraphrasing, but those things will not harm you. And maybe it's just in my nature or whatever, but I just don't worry about how the government is trying to secretly poison me. I don't worry about that. I better not eat that. That's got saccharin in it. I just don't worry about that stuff. And I'm not belittling those who do. What I'm telling you is, let's start worrying about what's already in us coming out. And you all know what that is, and you all know who that is. You and I and everybody on this planet already carries in us a little piece of the devil given to our mother, Eve, in the Garden of Eden. She had it. She handed it down to her children, and we all have it. And I do not want that all coming out. I promise you I don't. I hate it. So think about this gospel and this, and an angel, an alien angel bringing another gospel. Literally, let's take this, and we're going to mingle this with your DNA, and you're going to be immortal. None of these things on this earth now can harm you. You're going to be immortal. That is another gospel, people. And it's as real as what Joe Smith brought down. In fact, it's more real than what Joe Smith received from the angel Moroni and what Ellen White received from her accompanying angel. That's a familiar spirit. Anybody who knows the Bible should know that. Look at how the Bible uses this word alien. Job 19:15, they that dwell in mine house and mine maids count me for a stranger. I'm an alien in their sight. Lamentations 5:2, look at this one. Our inheritance is turned to strangers and our houses to aliens. Stop and play the music. Here we go. Stop and think about what our house is. Paul said in 2 Corinthians, we're studying this in Sunday school. The house of our tabernacle, our dwelling place right now, is this flesh. And this is where the temple of God is. This is where God resides in us. It is the temple. Our bodies are the temple of God. Our houses are the house of God. Look at what Lamentation. And Lamentations is on my list of, I think there's something there. Our inheritance is turned to strangers and our houses to aliens. They shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Mankind is going to rent their houses out to aliens. Evil angels, devils, a third of the angelic realm being kicked out of heaven, falling, coming down, chariots, angels that look like they have wheels coming down from heaven. And how many of these alien movies, TV shows, where the aliens are coming down? Listen, we've got stuff that'll cure all your diseases. We've got it. I mean, we've had it for years. We'll give it to you. That's another gospel, people, because the gospel is what makes us live forever. And there is only one that works, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Psalm 69:8, I am become a stranger unto my brethren, and an alien unto my mother's children. Isaiah 61:5, the stranger shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dresser. I mean, just look at how, now there's a better one up here. This Lamentations 5 verse 2 one sticks out in my mind. We're going to give our houses to aliens. Ephesians 4:18. Some of you are going, oh great! I don't have enough room for the people in my house already. Ephesians 4:18. Oh, watch this. Now, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Now, you watch this. And I tweeted this the 11 o'clock hour to kind of let you know where I was going today. We are looking at, now listen, in the truest sense of the word, we are looking at the alienation of mankind. Mankind is about to have his mind, his heart, his very soul alienated from God Almighty. So much so that God will say, I will never dwell in that house. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. That's what 2 Thessalonians 2 says. Because they love not the truth that would save them, God's going to turn them over to, he's going to send strong delusions that they should believe a lie. Colossians 1:21, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. How did he reconcile us? By way of Jesus Christ, the true gospel. Look at this one, Hebrews. Hebrews 11:33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. What does that look like to you? And by the way, what's it going to take? What will it take to fight off an invading army from the heavens whose ability and technology far exceeds our own? What would it take to defeat them? Faith. The weapons of our warfare, people, are not carnal. They're spiritual. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We are, watch this, let's count. We wrestle in principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. That's another gospel. Because we fight against it. Fight against it every day. The world is actually embracing it. Being led by familiar spirits and all the gurus of the age. I mentioned Josephus, and I think Ariel sent this to me. right after the program, I thought I'd read it because Josephus actually saw and he documented this. AD 75, Jewish historian, he said, besides these signs, a few days after that feast, on the 1 and 20th day of the month, Artemisius, a certain prodigious and incredible phenomenon appeared. I suppose the account of it would seem to be a fable were it not related by those that saw it and were not the events that followed it of so considerable a nature as to deserve such signals. For, before sun setting, chariots and troops of soldiers in their armor were seen running about among the clouds and surrounding of cities. Moreover, at that feast which we call Pentecost, as the priests were going by night into the inner court of the temple, as their custom was to perform their sacred ministrations, they said that, in the first place, they felt a quaking and heard a great noise, and after that they heard a sound as of a great multitude saying, let us remove hence. Look at what Josephus said was seen over Jerusalem. Chariots and troops of soldiers in the clouds. Now again, you don't have to believe that. You don't have to believe. You go to the Mutual UFO Network website and look at the various reports and incidents that are being reported. You don't have to believe that if you don't want to. But when it comes to what the Bible says, can we believe that God made a certain species, I guess, if you would, of angels that are literally chariots? They have wheels. They have a firmament on their head, which is a cart, a platform. And God rides those chariots. That's his car. That's his Uber. He rides in that chariot or on that chariot like the Pope Mobile. And that chariot is thousands of angels who have wheels within wheels. Our four wheels can take us through three dimensions. Their four wheels are different. They're wheels within wheels. Theirs takes them through four dimensions. I want you to think about that. All right? Let's see here. Some of the stuff we covered. Let me do this. Ezekiel chapter 1. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold, one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. He mentions that it was a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Then he says, verse 18, as for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful, and their rings were full of eyes round about them four. Let me look at it. Look at Saturn. Look at it! Look at it! It's a wheel within wheel. It's a wheel like a chariot wheel or a cart wheel. And inside the middle of that is another wheel. And by the way, balls can be wheels. They are all the time. Ball bearings are wheels. Okay? That's what they are. You're looking at what I think is a representation of, as much as we can see in this three-dimensional world, I think we're looking at a representation of these chariots. And a lot, not all, but a lot of the, what I would say, legitimate UFO sightings and photographs have that similar appearance. Can't remember who it was. The guy flying around 1947, Mount Rainier, said it looks like saucers skipping across the top of the water. And that's what Joel said about the chariots and the horsemen. They leap and skip across the top of the mountains. Okay? They were just doing things that nobody thought they could do. Verse 19, when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. For the spirit of the living creature, think beast. The spirit of the beast was in the wheels. Now, again, when these chariots move, when these angels move, when these living creatures move, the wheels move. They go with them. So think of the wheels as their ability to move around. That's what moves them here, there, this way, and fourth dimensionally. Let me skip some of this because we covered this the other day. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we remember the name of the Lord our God. So now I want you to think about this angel from heaven bringing another gospel. You see, are you catching this now and putting this all together? Why did Paul specifically mention an angel from heaven? Why did he do that? Was he just grabbing for words? We know better than that. We know that these scriptures were inspired by God. And that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we know that there are no idle words in the Bible. Just like there are no idle genes in your DNA, they all serve a purpose. Just because we don't know what all they do, that doesn't mean they don't do anything and they can be taken out. The words in your Bible are there for a reason. They fulfill a purpose, a function. They do things. They create things. They prohibit things or whatever it is. And Paul said, an angel from heaven. And here, some trust in chariots and horses. And there is going to be some who are, listen, they're going to fall for it. They are going to fall for it. I mean, we've heard this scenario. I talked about it Thursday. Ronald Reagan said, what if the aliens came down? Wouldn't we all get together? What if? What if we get up one day and the skies are full of ships, chariots? What if? Do you think that people would just, I was going to play golf. You know, those things are funny looking. Yeah, honey, I'm going to go play golf today. And playing golf while the sky is full of chariots. On that day, nothing will be the same. Nothing will. It's sort of like September 11, 2001, when those airplanes started going into those buildings and they started falling. Really, nobody was doing what they had planned they were going to do that day. Everybody was just, they were watching. So, Hoggard, you're just making this stuff up now. Well, let me tell you, in Revelation 12, the dragon's going to take his tail and scoop down one-third of the angels, the stars, and he's going to cast them down where? To the earth. People, that's going to happen. That's a known biblical event. And there's no uncertain terms there. There's no vague references there. It means exactly what it says. When that day comes, what do you think? Life is just going to, the stock market's rose by 4 points today. Breaking news. We've had fallen angels all over the place. And in sports, it's not going to be the same. Woe to them that go down to Egypt for help, that stay on horses and trust in chariots. Woe to them. If you want to know what that woe or what that word applies to, go look it in the Revelation, book of Revelation. One woe is past, Bible says. Let's see here. Let me go to the chariots, wagons, and wheels. Ooh, watch. I like this one. I will break in pieces the horse and his rider, and with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. And they shall come against thee with chariots, wagons, and wheels, an assembly of people, which shall set against thee buckler and shield and helmet round about. And see, here's your army of aliens right here. An army of aliens from the north country. That's what it says. I will bring upon Tyrus, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and king of kings from the north with horses and with chariots and with horsemen and companies and much people. By reason of the abundance of his horses, their dust shall cover thee. Thy wall shall shake at the noise of the horsemen and of the wheels and of the chariots when he shall enter into thy gates as men enter into a city wherein is made a breach. Joel's army. There's Todd Bentley's dog tags. He is of the master race. The new generation, the New breed, they call it, which means I have alien DNA in me. Joel's army, the shapes of the locusts, were like unto horses prepared in a battle, and on their heads was as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the face of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. Nahum chapter 2, the shield of his mighty men is made red, the valiant men are in scarlet. The chariot shall be with flaming torches in the day of his preparation, and the fir tree shall be terribly shaken. The chariot shall rage in the streets, they shall jostle one against another in the broad ways. They shall seem like torches, they shall run like lightnings. Here we go. By the way, this is if you didn't notice this, this is not just a picture of lightning. Did you notice these here? What are those? Torches. In the truest sense, they're lights in the sky that move about in what was it? What was it they did? They made formations very quickly in the blink of an eye. It split into four lights very quickly. These descriptions below describe exactly what we saw. It formed a pyramid-type object, and then to an arrow, and then to a straight line, and various others, and back to one light in seconds. Large white lights split into four, hovering in different formations. Lights on and off, Lebanon, Ohio. October 14th, 2013, 9:15 p.m. Believe it or not. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea. That's Exodus 14. I was studying the phrase army in the Bible years ago. This is what led me, this thing right here, this is what led me to believe that God actually owned an army that was not good. They were God's army, all right, but they were evil, evil angels. And that's when I landed there in Joel chapters 1, 2, and 3, and I went, wait a minute, everybody's saying they're Joel's army. Uh-oh, and that's what opened the door for me. I realized that the description of Joel's army, whom God called his mighty army, was none other than these evil angels seen in Revelation. And then I realized the depth and the scope of what people like Todd Bentley and others were doing. The deception was massive. Teaching people, supposedly Christian people, that they're going to become super gods and super warriors one day and take over the world. Makes sense now, doesn't it? These people, listen, the setup is big. The setup is huge, people. An angel from heaven is going to bring another gospel and offer it to people. And I'm telling you, there's people sitting in churches right now that are going to climb over the top of one another to get it and think nothing of it. While the dispensationalists say, that's for Israel. That was for Israel. Look at these hieroglyphics. I don't have an explanation for why. I mean, this one, okay, that one looks like a hornet. I get it. I do not have an explanation why these hieroglyphics look like that. I don't know why, but they look like that. I didn't find this, but there is, what is it? It's a Mayan painting or something like that of a guy wearing something over his head, and he's in this thing in his hands and his feet are operating stuff like this in it. Where did that come? I didn't find it on the internet in time, but anyway. And there's his army, his northern army. My great army, which I sent among you. God, listen, who's going to send? Here's a picture of it. I got a picture of it. Are you ready? Let's see, where was it? Finer King James Bible. I can't find it. Let's see here. And here it is. Here it is. I'm terrible at knowing where stuff is in the Bible, but I'm pretty good at finding it. In 1 Kings chapter 22, in fact, let me do this here. 1 Kings 22, you got to see this. There's a picture of this. That angel that's going to come from heaven and bring another gospel. He didn't escape God's jail. He didn't sneak off and God didn't catch him. God sent him. And there's a picture of it. I just thought of this. There's a picture of it in your Bible. Look at this. This is Jehoshaphat. I used to laugh at that name. Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat. That's funny. Anyway. Jehoshaphat is with Ahab. And Ahab says, why don't you go to battle with me? And Jehoshaphat says, well, okay. I'd like to hear from the Lord on this. So Ahab said, you want to hear from the Lord? I'll get you all the stuff from the Lord you want. He calls in his 400 prophets, and one of them makes these iron horns. Think about it. Iron horns. It says, see these horns, Ahab? With these horns, you're going to push them. You're going to take them. They're going to be yours. God told us all this. And all the 400 said, amen, praise God, glory, hallelujah. We're God's mighty army. Glory to God. We're going to have our DNA changed with our thoughts and our power words. We're going to change our DNA and be the super breed soldiers that are going to take over the world for the glory of God. Hallelujah. And Jehoshaphat is going, don't you have somebody, you know, that, I don't know, a little bit more trustworthy? And Ahab says, there's Micaiah. I hate him. I don't like him. Why? Because he didn't tell me what I want to hear. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Listen, there's churches all over the world that don't want to hear from Micaiah because he doesn't prophesy positive confessions. He says negative confessions that these guys don't want to hear. So here's what Micaiah saw. I got to find it here. Watch this. Starting in verse 19. And he said, hear thou therefore the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the host of heaven standing by him on his right hand and on his left. And the Lord said, who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one said on this manner and another said on that manner. And there came forth a spirit. And you know what that is? That is an angel from heaven. There came forth a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? Which means, how are you going to do it? And he said, I will go forth and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Listen, I'm telling you, I am pleading with you. Take this seriously. The mouths of the prophets of Ahab are open and they are everywhere. And that lying angel from heaven, they're all saying the same thing. I almost can't wait. You have got to see what I have in the queue for the Watchman video broadcast this weekend. You pray for me, because last Wednesday I was supposed to started that thing on familiar spirits, and I come in on Wednesday, and usually I get the lights on, get the camera ready, and I get all suited up and get all my notes and everything like that. And it took me probably about 4 or 5 hours of just devils beating on me before I could start recording that. Last Sunday morning, I preached Don't Sell Your Vineyard. It's probably the third or fourth time I've preached that. Third time I know for a fact I've preached that theme at Bethel. I do it differently every time, but it is a tremendous, tremendous theme from the Bible. Don't sell your vineyard to Ahab. By the way, this is precisely why Ahab's going to fall. Precisely. Is because, I didn't even have the verses up here on the screen. This right here. He stole Naboth's vineyard, and God is going to deliver him to the fall. Do you see the word fall there? Who shall persuade Ahab that he may go up and fall? Let me tell you something, people. There's a falling coming. Do you know it? Do you know it? Angels are going to fall from heaven. People on the earth are going to fall. And that's going to happen. Here we go. Before our gathering unto him. Not after. Before. And I preached, Don't Sell Your Vineyard Sunday morning. And God showed up. And God dealt with some people, and God dealt with me, and people wrote in, people called, people said, Pastor, man, I needed that. Thank you. And I tell you, I'm telling you, I got beat up Sunday afternoon. I got thorned with one of my thorns. And then I got a family in our church right now. The guy called me and he said, your sermon Sunday, and he said, it's going on in my home right now. He said, I'm not going to sell my vineyard. And you pray, you don't know who it is. I tweeted it. You don't know who it is, but there is a family that I know of right now that is fighting a very, very deep spiritual battle. And it's all in their home. These things are real, people. If I use the word UFO or alien or whatever, it doesn't take, and you don't like that, it doesn't take away from the reality of what's going down in this world right now. And tomorrow, I'm going to try it. I'm going to try to record part two, Familiar Spirits, and what's in there. I can't believe that people fall for this. These prophets of Ahab, they left their Bible a long time ago. And they're all over the place. They're in churches. They're in denominations. They're in the Bible college. In fact, the seminaries left the Bible years before the churches did. The seminaries started training the young guys coming out. So these young guys are going into the churches like an infiltration. And they're changing churches over from following the Word of God to following the spirit, quote unquote. And you try to pin them down. Well, I believe the Bible. And they say, well, we believe in the living word. I love that phrase. We believe in the living word. What that means is we follow a spirit, not the written word of God. And so this spirit said, verse 22 again, the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go forth, and I will be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And he said, thou shalt persuade him and prevail also. Go forth and do so. And I am telling you that God is going to send an evil angel to this world with another gospel in his hand. And God said, go. you will prevail. It'll work. 400 prophets all had the same evil angel gospel in them. And they all said the same thing. And listen to me, people. Just because a majority of the people that you know and the stuff you read on the internet, just because a majority of them hates the King James Bible, that does not make them right. Jehoshaphat knew it. And you had one man, Micaiah, who against 400 of his denominational peers spoke the truth. And they beat him up for it. They smacked him around for that. How dare you say that to the king? But it was the truth. And your friends and your family members and the people you go to church with, sit next to Sunday school with, they're not going to like it. You pastors, listen, I know pastors who've had this conviction that that the Bible was right, the Word of God, the King James, that it was right. They had that conviction, and they tried to bring it up in their churches. And I know of a guy was thrown out of his church, or threatened to, if he ever preached that again. They threatened to throw him out. Just because the entire denomination doesn't want to believe this anymore, doesn't want to believe that the Bible is right in everything that it says. Just because they say, well, we believe this, it's inspired in the original manuscripts, but we know there's mistakes in all the translations. We know there is. Just because they all say it, that doesn't make it right. There is a lying spirit in their mouth. Who put it there? God sent it. Because they love not the truth. That would save them. So God is going to send them a strong delusion. I'm beginning to think now that it's an angel, a chariot, an alien, an evil spirit coming down from heaven. And everybody's going to go, ooh, ha! Ah, and all the preachers are going to go, yes, that's God sent that. And they got cursed. God, look at, show this verse again. God said, my great army which I sent, look, Joel 2:25, I will restore unto you the years that the locust, the cankerworm, the caterpillar, and the palmer worm. What do you see there? Four false, consuming, rotten gospels, which is not a gospel. And he said, my great army, which I sent among you in the churches, in the denominations, in the Christian book section, in the Christian bookstore. I guarantee you the locust army books are in there. The palmer worm, caterpillar, canker, the canker worms. Hymenaeus and Philetus, Paul said, their word doth eat as a canker. Cancer. You believe in it now? You believe in the aliens coming? Deuteronomy 20 verse 1, when thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. God's telling us, when you see them, because they are coming, and they're coming before you're translated. When you see them, do not be afraid of them. I am with you. And what you don't see is, I've got you surrounded by more horses and chariots than they brought with them. Because two-thirds is still more than one-third. God's got us, people. Joshua chapter 11, it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard these things that he sent to Jodab, the king of Madon, and to the king of Shimron, and to the king of Akshath. How many kings? And to the kings that were on the north of the mountains, and the plains of the south of Chinneroth, and in the valley, and in the borders of Dor on the west, and to the Canaanite on the east, and on the west, and to the Amorite, and to the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Jebusite in the mountains, and the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. And they went out, they and all their hosts with them, much people, as the sand that is upon the seashore in multitude. You know what that phrase means in the Bible? Innumerable. The only people in the Bible listed as innumerable are the angels. And I talked about this before. One third as a percentage is 33.3333. And where does it stop? It doesn't. And yet God knows how to divide off exactly one third out of an innumerable amount. Okay? You ought to see God's calculator. It's huge! Okay? It's like smoke and sparks coming out of it trying to calculate one third of an innumerable, infinite amount. And yet God got it right down to the very last one. That's what the sand of the sea upon the seashore and the multitude is. It's an innumerable company of angels. That's who came with their horses and their chariots, people. When all these kings were met together, they came and pitched together at the waters of Merom to fight against who? Israel. Joshua 11:6, the Lord said unto Joshua, be not afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time I will deliver them up all slain before Israel. Thou shalt hawk their horses and burn their chariots with fire. And Joshua did unto them, he obeyed them. He hawked their horses, burnt through. But you know what that is? He sent guys out to their horses and cut their hamstrings so they couldn't run. Couldn't hardly walk. They had crippled all the horses. And he burnt their chariots with fire. Okay? Look at this one. Joshua 17, the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron. Think about it. What is that? What kingdom is that? It's the Iron Kingdom. Judges chapter 1, verse 18, and also Judah took Gaza with the coast thereof, and Ascalon with the coast thereof, and Ekron with the coast thereof, and the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had what? Chariots of iron. And that's the Iron Kingdom. And they gave Hebron unto Caleb, as Moses said, and he expelled thence the three sons of Anak. Here we go. Here's your music right there. Come on, where's my music? Here we go. The children of Benjamin did not drive out the Jebusites that inhabited Jerusalem, but the Jebusites dwell with the children of Benjamin in Jerusalem unto this day. Oh, looky here, Sisera. You know who Sisera is? I'll wait and read it in a minute. The children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord when Ehud was dead, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, the king of Canaan, that reigned in Hazor, the captain of whose host was Sisera, which dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. Chariots of iron. Look at that. The language of the Bible is telling you about some evil angels that are part of an iron kingdom that are going to come down in their iron chariots. And they're going to mingle themselves with the seed of men, just like the legion mingled themselves with the swine. 2,000 of them, by the way. So, Sisera is a picture of the beast who has a deadly wound in his head. Sisera gathered together all his chariots, even 900 chariots of iron, and all the people that were with him from Harosheth of Gentiles unto the river Kishon. Deborah said unto Barak, up, for this is the day in which the Lord hath delivered Sisera into thine hand. Is not the Lord gone out before thee? So Barak went down from Mount Tabor, and 10,000 men after him. Do you know who that is? The Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. I wish that I had a hallelujah. I wish I had that. Do I have anything like that? Yeah, I go.
Right on.
That's the Lord coming down with 10,000 of his saints. In Revelation 19, and the Lord discomfited Sisera and all his chariots and all his hosts with the edge of the... Something happened to the chariots. Something happened to Sisera's chariots. There is an explanation, not here, but back in Exodus. And all his chariots and all his hosts with the edge of the sword before Barak, so that Sisera lighted down off his chariot and fled away on his feet. But Barak, pursued after the chariots and after the host unto Harosheth of Gentiles. And all the hosts of Sisera fell upon the edge of the sword, and there was not a man left. By the way, Jesus, and when he comes with 10,000 of the saints, got a sharp sword coming out of his mouth. Howbeit Sisera fled away on his feet to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Kenite. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day, saying, the mother of Sisera looked out a window, cried through the lattice, why is his chariot so long in coming? Why tarry? Look at what it says. Why tarry the wheels of his chariots? Again, there are no words in the Bible. This is not just a poetic description. No, it's not. This is a holy man spake as the Holy Ghost moved him. He wrote down exactly what was said, and it's for our learning and our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Something about the wheels of the chariots that's very, very important. 1 Samuel 8:11, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He shall take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots to be his horsemen, and some shall run before his chariots. Think about it. In verse 12, and he will appoint him captains over thousands, captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. Now, let's get into a little bit of conspiracy here. Little conspiracy theory concerning Operation Paperclip. Operation Paperclip, CIA, back in its fledgling, in fact, I don't think it was even called the CIA then. When Hitler was defeated, Operation Paperclip, there were American soldiers dispatched or American agents dispatched to round up all of Hitler's scientists working on rocket projects, working on nuclear bomb projects, working on ships and design of ships that look like flying wheels in the sky. That is the truth. That is documented truth. Hitler and his dual society, the people who were getting information from the familiar spirits, Hitler had set in motion a plan to build flying wheels, flying circles, flying saucers, flying discs. And they were working on those projects when Hitler was killed. So Operation Paperclip went to all of them, like Wernher von Braun, who was the father of America. He's the father of the space program. Wernher von Braun and others, Oppenheimer, who worked in the Trinity site in New Mexico, building the first atomic bomb. They rounded these guys up and said, you can be killed for being an enemy, or we'll buy you a nice suit and give you a bunch of money. We'll bring you to America. And you can work for the Captain America. You can work for the good guys. Well, they took the deal. So they were transported over to secret American bases. This is common knowledge now, secret American bases, and began to work once again on the work that they were doing in Germany. Von Braun was building his rockets. Oppenheimer was building his nuclear bomb. Who was building the giant flying wheels? We don't know. But is it feasible that some of the technology that is coming to the forefront right now. And I'm not just talking about flying saucers. I'm talking about DNA editing and quantum physics understandings and so on. Is it not plausible that the information designed, the inspiration for all of these mind-boggling inventions, are they coming from familiar spirits? The answer is yes. There we go. A little bit late. We know it for a fact. We know for a fact that Francis Crick was taking LSD when he was trying to visualize and conceptualize the makeup and the design of DNA. He admitted it. And he said, doing that was opening doors and clearing my mind so that I was receiving inspiration on how this was designed. He was doing what the medicine men down in the Amazon rainforest were doing for the pharmaceutical companies. They would take this ayahuasca, or they would consume this really super strong tobacco liquor, drinking it all down at once, going into a stupor, a trance. And they were seeing these entwined snakes everywhere talking to one another. Same concept. We know for a fact. We know for a fact that we know in Silicon Valley and probably around the world, high-tech companies and their engineers and designers are taking very small, low doses of LSD on a regular basis to open doors in their minds so they can receive inspiration on how to design things and how to connect things together and put machines in our brains and stuff like that. This is not science fiction. It's not conspiracy wacko stuff. This is truth. This is what's going on in the world right now. Is it possible that somewhere is building instruments of their chariots? I think it is. Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel. 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore. Remember what that phrase means? It means an infinite number that cannot be numbered. And yet God knows the number of it. And he has a name for all of them too, by the way. But the chariots and the horsemen. 2 Samuel 15, it came to pass after this that Absalom, you know who Absalom is, don't you? He has the face of a man and the hair of a woman. That's who Absalom is. And he prepared him chariots and horses and 50 men to run before him. This number 5 and 50 and 500, it keeps showing up because when you have four base pairs and nucleotides, you have four gospels, and you add something to it, what do you got? 4 plus 1, or as they teach you in Common Core math, you have 18 and a half. And we can prove it, too. Revelation 9, the fifth angel sounded. You see it? That's the connection there. I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. He opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a... And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. There came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. This is God's mighty strong army that he's sending. And these scorpions have a sting in their tail. And what do they do with that sting? What do they do with that injection? They inject everybody so that for 5 months, nobody dies. That's unheard of. For 5 months. In a population of 7 billion people, not one person dies in 5 months. They want to, but they can't. You know who the opposite of that is? Us, who go from this world to the next without dying, and we don't want to die. And it's the number 5 as well. I want to get to something here. 2 Kings 23:11 always fascinated me. He burned the chariots of the sun with fire. You think about that. Think about what these things look like in the night sky. They look like the sun coming out. Oh, here we go. Here we go. This is where it's going to get juicy now. It's going to get interesting. We're going to do some speculation here. Isaiah chapter 5, and he will lift up an ensign to the nations from far and will hiss unto them from the end of the earth, and behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. None shall be weary nor stumble among them. None shall slumber nor sleep. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loosed nor the latches be broken. This is the unstoppable army pictured in the book of Joel. Whose arrows are sharp and all their bows bent, their horses' hooves shall be counted like flint and their wheels like a what? A whirlwind, a vortex. Think of a galaxy, think of a whirlwind, and in the center of that whirlwind is the vortex. Think of when you flush the toilet, you're creating a vortex. And in the whirlwind or in the toilet vortex, everything is being pulled down to the center like in a black hole. A black hole is a giant vortex that pulls everything into it, into its core. These wheels are like a whirlwind. Giant spinning wheel. Vortex. And that, I'm saying that for a reason. Hang on. Their roaring shall be like a lion. Think of who's that? They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar to the prey. Because Satan is going to come as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that's why God tells us to be sober. Now, he may tell Benny Hinn to make everybody drunk. But God does not want us drunk, does he? He wants us sober. He wants us vigilant. He wants us going, I know what that is. I know what that is. I know the Word of God, and I know what that is. And I know who that is, and that is not the lion of the tribe of Judah. It's not. They shall roar like young lions. They shall roar and lay hold of the prey and shall carry it, and none shall deliver it. Oh, but Pastor Mike, I've got a bug out bag. I've got a bug out bag, and we're working on our bunker out in the woods. Nobody can be able to find us out there. We're gonna dig ourselves in down there, and we've got dehydrated fried rabbit food down there, and we've got some water purifiers, and we've got some videotapes we're gonna watch, magazines we're gonna read. We're just gonna hang out down there and hide from all this stuff. They ain't gonna get us. You put your trust self all you want to. Me, I quit trusting myself a long time ago. Isaiah 66:15, for behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind. There it is again. Now you remember how Elijah went up into heaven by a whirlwind. What is this telling you? That chariot was that whirlwind. There was a connection between the whirlwind and that chariot with the horses that picked, God sent the Uber car down to pick up Elijah. Said, come on up. I'm sending a car after you to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. What are angels? They're flames of fire is what they are. Chariots like a whirlwind of fire. Jeremiah 4, set up the standard toward Zion, retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion has come up from this thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make thy land desolate, and thy city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. Now that's Jeremiah 4, 6 and 7. In verse 13 of the same chapter, here is the destroyer of the Gentiles, and here's how he's going to come. He shall come up as clouds, and his chariot shall be as a whirlwind. And his horses are swifter than eagles. Woe unto us, for we are spoiled. Deuteronomy 28:9, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand. Gold plates. Joe Smith, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. Now, I want you to look at this. The lion is, the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He's coming from the north, which is up there somewhere. And his chariots are like whirlwinds. He's come up as the clouds. Have you ever seen close encounters of the third kind? Just about every time the UFOs show up, they come in the clouds. I need music. I got music here. And do you know, I mean, I've said this before. The government knows that the chariots are coming because they secretly passed communication in the form of music. And you've got people all over the country drawing pictures of this mountain. Do you know what it is? It's the opposite of the mountain of God. Because, who made that movie? Made Jaws, made E.T. You know what I'm talking about. He's a Jew. Okay? I see his face. Can't think of his name right now. Drew a blank. I'll think of it later. But he made this movie. It's a mockery of the 12 tribes of Israel meeting God at Mount Sinai. Because in this, by the way, in the movie, there's a reference to this little kid's watching TV. What are you watching? Mom, the Ten Commandments are on. And it's Moses and the Israelites at the base of the mountain of God, Mount Sinai. And he put that in that movie for a reason. Because now you have 12 people who come to Devil's Tower. Coming music. And coming out of the clouds, out of the whirlwind, are these space alien ships that are communicating with the government with trumpet sounds. Synthesizers, stuff, you get it. Musical, talking back and forth. They speak a language that no one understands. They have to be taught the language. And they come down in the clouds like a whirlwind. And it's not God the Father, it's the mothership. And when the government is trying to figure out how they're going to clear everybody away from the devil's tower, a guy says, we need a way of removing every living Christian soul from that mountain. Cue the music. They don't want the Christian souls around. They don't want them. Because they won't fall when everybody else does. You remember that? Now, this is not a science fiction movie. This is real. And I have not heard a plausible, official explanation for this. This was, Obama was over close to there, wasn't he? This was in Norway. There's video of this. This is not just a still, it appeared for a second and went away. There's video of this vortex, this wheel in the sky spinning. And everybody's going, what in the world is that? Well, it's a giant vortex. A wheel, like a whirlwind, spinning in the sky, is what it is. You can make up your mind what it is. I got to get to this. This is the juicy part. Are you seeing these wheels here? You seeing that? Okay? You seeing them coming out of the clouds there? You see all the wheels and the chariots? And remember what I said. My four-wheel drive car can go front ways, sideways, slant ways. It can climb up hills, down hills, in four-wheel drive in the snow. Did it pretty good last Sunday. My four-wheel drive can drive through three dimensions. God's four-wheel drive cars, because they have wheels within wheels, it can drive through four dimensions. And the fourth dimension is time. Time has no real relevance outside of where you and I live. It's eternity. It is everlastingness. It is world without end. It is no time. Doesn't mean the same. God can, from his position as the most high, and by the way, the higher up, the more you can see. You understand that? God is the most high. So what does that mean? He can see everything. He can see more than anybody can. And God can see all of human activity and human history all at once. It's not a mystery. There's nothing that's a mystery to God. He sees it all. Because he, where he is, transcends time. What are they talking about doing at CERN with their great big gigantic wheel? They're talking about being able to send an electron into the past, time travel, or into the future or something like that. But they're talking about traveling through time with their big gigantic wheel on the 46th parallel. And I want you to think about it. Wheels. Let me get to it. In Kundalini, you know, where you wad your legs up and you roll boogers between your fingers. Oh, that's what they're doing. They got a booger in each hand. They're rolling their fingers in their, you know, rolling the boogers in their fingers. Okay. That's pretty good. I like that. The idea is that you have a monster. You have a monster beast in your bum. The base of your spine. And when you do all the booger rolling and meditating and everything else, when you empty your mind and come to this mindless state, like most politicians are in, that beast starts rising up at 33rd bone spine. What he must do is that that beast has to go through 7 chakras. The word chakra means wheel or a vortex like a whirlwind. That's one and the same. Energy points, they call it. But the 7 chakras are 7 wheels, 7 whirlwinds, 7 of these. Okay? That's what they have to go through. That's what this beast has to climb through. Now, I'm racking my brain. I'm going, I don't know what those are. I don't know what those wheels are. I don't know what those chakras, those vortexes, those whirlwinds. Well, the wheels are like whirlwinds. The wheels are like whirlwind. Their wheels are like a whirlwind. Those are your chakras right there. So I get that. But I'm just going, I still don't know what that is. What are those wheels? Those circles, those chakras. Why does the beast have to go through them? The 7th one is your pineal gland that puts you to sleep when it's activated. Go through the 6th one, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, to get to the 7th one. What does that mean? I think I know. Hang on a second. You ever seen that before? Just doesn't that look like a chariot wheel to you, the spokes and the wheel? It's the Wiccan wheel of the what? Year. You see, this wheel shows the passage of time. Winter solstice, Candlemas, spring equinox, May Eve, May Day, summer solstice, Lammas, fall equinox, All Hallows Eve, winter solstice. See, a wheel is time. And even in here, you have the signs of the zodiac, 12. And the zodiac is called the zodiac because it's a circle of beasts. That's what the name means, a circle. And it has to do with the circling of the 12 astrological signs around the earth. And they don't all do it at once. It takes a year to do it. a circle or a wheel is time. In fact, see this symbol? Remember what it is, the Ouroboros? You know what it is? It's the circle of time. In fact, think about it. Name something that we use to mark or indicate time, and then tell me what shape it's in. If you're wearing a watch, look at it. You say, well, mine's square. Yeah, but the stupid little arms on it are not. They're not going in a square. They're not going in a straight line. They're going in a circle. In fact, I just sat down and made a list one day of, and I'm not going to get done. I'm going to pause my timer because I got to finish this. I can't leave you hanging here. We don't have enough time. But I sat down and made a list of everything that I could think of that was a marker of time. And every one of them were a circle. Look at this. Saturn, with his wheels within his wheels, he is referred to also as Kronos. Kronos is where we get the word chronology, time. You see what he's doing here? See this clock here? What is that? Goes in a circle, doesn't it? That's what Saturn is. It's a circle. By the way, did you see the movie Interstellar? Interstellar was the Earth is dying and everybody, all the Earthlings are going to die. We need to get off this planet. And they found out by the planet Saturn a black hole where when they went through it, time shifted. And it was out by Saturn with the wheel within his wheels. Okay? There is a Masonic emblem. This is Mystery Babylon. She's got a sprig of shittim in her hand, acacia, thorns. And this is the broken column. This is the Antichrist because he's dead and broken in pieces and needs to be put, Humpty Dumpty needs to be put back together. And here is Kronos, Saturn, Father Time. See the thing here, the hourglass? And by the way, when the hourglass, when the sand runs all down to the bottom, what do you do with it? Turn it. And then when it does it again, well, you do it again. Turn it. It's a circle. Doesn't matter what you measure time with. It's always going to be a circle. Anyway, this is time, and he's weaving her DNA hair. That's what he's doing. Okay? Now look at this. Look at this. God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. What shape is the sun? Circle. What shape is the moon? Circle. The shape is the earth? Circle. In what direction do all the stars go around? Circle. What direction does the sun go around? Circle. The moon? Circle. All the planets? A circle. Let them be for lights. Let them be for signs, seasons, days, and years. Number four, God made two great lights, a greater light to rule the day, a lesser light to rule the night. And he made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night. That's a circle. And to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good in the morning or the fourth day. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork day unto day. That's a circle. Utter a speech night unto night. That's a circle. Showeth knowledge. There's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of it, rejoices as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven and his circuit unto the ends of it, and there's nothing hid from the heat thereof. And what I'm telling you is everything that we use to measure time, whether it's daily time, the sun, or monthly time, the moon, or the stellar time, which is the stars, which show us the year, they all are in a circle. They go in a circuit. Time is a circle. It's a wheel that spins round and round and round. In Ecclesiastes, he's describing time. This one passeth, another generation cometh, and it takes time. The sun also riseth, the sun goeth down, and hasteth to the place where he rose, the circle of time. Wind goeth toward the south, turneth about unto the north, it whirleth about continually, and the wind returneth again according to his circuits, his circle. All the rivers, what do computers run on? Anyway, but you get the idea. Time, and watch this. The thing that hath been is that which shall be. That which is done is that which shall be done. There is no new thing under the sun, which goes in a circle. Time is a circle. It's a cycle. Everything is. There's no remembrance of former things, neither shall there be any remembrance of things that are come with those that it's a circle. Everything's a circle. That which was is that which shall be. Now look at this. Look at this. And I want you to think about this. When God lulled the chariots and the horsemen, think angels, think UFOs, think of angels whose wheels within a wheels have the ability to go to and fro throughout time. Angels, they don't age. Satan, he's not getting to be an old man. I just can't do it anymore. That's not him. I think that they transcend time, have the ability to go back and forth. It's no big deal to them. After all, they're on chariot wheel within wheels. I think God's got a plan for some of them. I think he's going to trap them here on this earth, and they can't escape out of it because, I mean, look at what he did. When God lulled Pharaoh and his chariots and his horsemen down into the dry part of the bottom of the Red Sea, he took his wheels off the chariots, and now they can't go where the wheels take them. You see that? I think when these angels rise up from the pit and then fall down from heaven, they're in a world that they're not going to like, and they're stuck. I think God's going to take their wheels off, and they won't be able to leave. And then he's going to judge them. Throw them in the lake of fire. It's just that's my theory, people. You take it for what it is. You either say, Hoggard, you're stupid. But I like that theory, but Hoggard, you're still stupid. Okay, that's fine. Let God be true and every man a liar. Study things at Compass. I'm out. I'm out of time. I'm out of breath. I'm out of slides. If nothing else, I like to show you that I think everything is in, including chariots that are the gods. I think everything's in the Bible. I think when you read it from the Bible, I think it just makes more sense. So, you pray for us. Pray for me tomorrow. It's a big one. Okay, the familiar spirits. You're gonna see something. I got to show you this. All right. So you pray for me and pray for us here. Pray for my family. The devil doesn't like us. Well, he can go sit on a tack, all right? And just pray that God will just keep blessing the way he is, all right? I love you. You're the reason why we do what we do. And I'd like to hear your ideas on this. Send them to me, pastormikeonline@gmail.com. Even if I don't answer, I try to read all the emails. God bless you. We'll see you next time.